I think that my mom and dad epitomize what it means to be faithful. And I just love them so dearly. I asked my dad to be here today in particular because I've asked him to preach God's word for us, and he's going to come and do that in just a moment. A couple things that are kind of neat and kind of cool. One, he's going to be reading from a different translation than I normally read with, and it's because of who he went to seminary with, okay? He went to seminary with James. And they worked on this together, and they got this thing going on. Some of you are like, what? If you missed it, don't worry about it. But we were talking last night, and it occurred to him in looking at the calendar that today, this very day, marks 55 years ago that he preached his very first sermon. Is that incredible? And so when I say they're the epitome of faithful, I mean, that's one of the big reasons why I say that. And so one thing my dad has always been faithful to do is to preach the glorious good news of Jesus. My mom and dad are why I know Jesus. They modeled Jesus for me. They talked about Jesus to me. It was my dad that I went to in our home in North Alabama. We had that ugly brown shag carpet. Anybody else back in the 80s? May have been a carryover from the 70s. I don't know. And we had this velour yellow couch. And velour, yes. And some of you are like, I have one of those in my living room. And I went in and talked to my dad and just at a young age and said, Dad, I really want Jesus to be mine. I want a relationship with him. And we knelt down on that ugly brown shag carpet. And he opened the Word of God as we knelt literally at that yellow velour couch, which my mom got rid of a few years ago, and I'm still kind of upset at her about. But the carpet could go, but you should have kept the couch. And he opened the Word of God and just read scriptures to me that probably even at a young age could have, you know, had memorized and could have said out loud. But he just very plainly made the way of salvation to me, and I received Christ, and it's changed my life forever. And so I just want to say, too, that one of the reasons I am who I am, obviously because of the work of Jesus in my life, but I really believe with all my heart, I'm standing on my dad's shoulders. And I love him very dearly, love my mother very dearly, and I'm very thankful for them. And so what I want to do is I want to pray, and then my dad's going to come and bring God's word for us. So would you join me as we pray? Father, we thank you so much for this day and this time to be here and to worship you. We thank you for the glorious cross that we just sang about, that you, Jesus, died upon, but you didn't stay dead. You rose again from the grave. That is what we preach. That is what we teach. That is what we declare. And better yet, deeper than that, that is what we believe. And that is what has changed our lives. You, Jesus, your death, your burial, your resurrection is what has cleansed us of our sins. Thank you for my dad being here today. I pray that you just fill him with your spirit as he comes to bring your word to your people for this time. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We'll be ready.
Amen.
Good morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord, be in Highland Chapel. I've passed by this place since 1962, humpteens of times. I preached all over Arkansas. Now I'm in Oklahoma and been in Florida and Texas and Alabama. So you name it, I've been there. But it's always good to be in the house of the Lord. Did you hear about the fellow that he was needing a job? And he went down to the State Department, found a job painting the center line down the highway back in the days before they had the machine. First day, he painted 3 miles. The second day, 2 miles. The third day, 1 mile. The boss said, well, I'm sorry, but we can't keep you any longer. He said, well, I don't understand. I just got further from the paint can. Now there's a moral to that story. The further you get from God, the worse off you're going to be. The further you get from God, the less that the peace is going to be in your heart and life. If you find yourself getting farther from God, who moved? Well, what time is it? I've got to eliminate a lot of things here because I heard there was a trap door here and all this kind of thing. You know, I just tell preachers when they come my way and just preach until you get through. But that may not work here. I don't know. What I need to do is find out something here just a minute, and you can help me preach a little bit. I want to find out what time it is. Sir, right here on the second row, what time is it?
Quarter to.
Quarter to. That's not the right answer. I'm sorry. See if this fella can help me. They must use the same cell phone number. Let's move back here and try this guy. He's all out of whack. Well, let's look to the book of Romans, and we'll find out what time it is. Romans, you know, is a book about salvation. It's about serving the Lord. It's the sixth book in the New Testament. It's man's number. It's about salvation, that men need the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice in chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, these words, that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. Time to wake up. Any of you asleep? Can't see you very good up this way, can I? But seriously, notice what he says. It's high time to wake out of sleep, for now it is your salvation is nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off all the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put you on the Lord Jesus and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. May we pray. Father, we come to you realizing that we're an eternity-bound people. We trust that each one, before they leave this place today, can truthfully say that they know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. If not, we pray for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit be manifest in their lives, that they might know that it is time to give their heart and life to the Lord Jesus. It's time for God's people to wake up and get busy for you. We pray that you just touch our lives today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The list, as I began to ponder on what all the time it is, it's time to worship. It's time to pray. It's time to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking to people that need the Lord and those that know the Lord. He wants us to wake up out of our sleepiness, of our indifference and this type of thing, and wake up out of our negligence and wake up and be concerned about not only our soul, but the souls of men and women, boys and girls round about us. I remember when Benton, Arkansas was just a small little place. It's a little bit different now. In fact, the business, I do good if I can find my way in and out and go from there. But be that as it may, there's countless numbers of people that need the Lord Jesus Christ in this place. And this is a beacon, this is a lighthouse to spread the word that they might come trusting in the Lord. What time is it? It's gospel time. It's time to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the accepted time. It's the working time. It's a busy time. You know, most of us are far too busy. We're just running in circles. You know, just yesterday, a week ago, just yesterday, I was just starting out preaching, and you'll still be wondering about that later on. What time is it? It's perilous times. Folks, I don't know which way it's going to go next. I have a general idea from the Word of God where it's going to end up. But nevertheless, we can look at it from one standpoint that it's sad times. Other times it is a joyful time because Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Got one ready. You heard about the preacher preaching about getting ready to go to heaven. Guy, everybody wanted to go but this one guy. He said, "Why don't you want to go?" He said, "I thought you was making up a load to go today." You know, we live in a time-pressured, stressful life. Stress can make you sick, folks. Your job can make you sick. A lot of things can give you problems. But I like what one fellow said. He said to describe the 21st century lifestyle is hurry, worry, and bury. Some of you catch that later on. It's time to reach new heights in the service of God. You know, you have not achieved yet. I have not. None of us have. There's more to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a church, you need to be totally involved in the work of the Lord. Well, I thought that's what we're paying the preacher and all that staff for. No, they just help lead you to do the things that they're doing. And on it goes. You know, it's later than it ever has been. If I understand anything about chronology of the scriptures, we're nigh upon the end of the age. We're close. It's knocking on the door. And we need to do all we can to reach those that are lost about us before it's eternally too late. We need to first of all realize that our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Now, that's in verse 11. I think about the 10 virgins, you know. 5 of them were wise. They had their lamps. By the way, those little lamps they had to just fit in the palm of your hand. Wouldn't hold an ounce of oil. I don't know how long they would burn. But 5 of them came ready. They were packed up and ready to go. 5 said, "We don't have any oil. Let us have some of yours." They said, "No, go get your own." And while they were gone, the Lord came. He's coming whether we're ready or not. It's up to us to get ready. Salvation here is dealing with our final deliverance. Did you know that your soul is the only thing that is totally, completely saved at this point? The very moment you, by faith, trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, repented of your sins, He came into your heart and life. He changed that soul nature and regenerated it, and it was saved instantaneously. You no more asked the Lord to save your soul, and He did it. You know, I can remember that day, and it happened so fast I didn't hardly realize it. You know, I was waiting for something to happen, and it finally dawned on me, it already has. But then we have the mind. Some of us don't have too much of that stuff, you know. Mind gets pretty rusty. But the Bible says in Romans 12 to renew the mind. Sometimes I have difficulty remembering what I need to remember. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you will get there someday. But as I go back and read and reread and reread, why didn't I remember that before? Well, I did, but I didn't. The only way we go. But, you know, we need to fill our hearts and minds with the Word of God, and it will transform our lives. Then there's the body. This old body ain't going to heaven. You with me? You got to have a new body. You got to have a glorified body. You got to have a perfect body. And this one isn't ready for that. And you'll only get that when the coming of the Lord takes place along the way. We'll be changed. We'll be translated. And we'll have one that has no blemishes. We'll have no disease. We'll have no problems whatsoever. Therefore, it's urgent, if you're without Christ Jesus today, to give your heart and life to Him. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're born sinners. We come into the world. You say, oh, that little loved one of mine is perfect and wonderful. Yeah, why do they cry in the middle of the night? And you go and turn the light on and they're just as happy as can be. Little old nature taking over. But be that as it may, we're born sinners, and therefore, since we're born sinners, we all need to be saved. We need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the key to the situation is not to delay. I'm working with a man right now in McAllister, Oklahoma. He's pushing 80 or a little better. He's hoping he's saved. Folks, that won't get it. I've got a no-so salvation. I know that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I know that I repented of my sins. I know that I asked the Lord to save my soul. I know that He came into my heart and life. There's no question about it. Therefore, if we delay, we may realize that Jesus has come and we're not ready. Time is short. The Bible says to repent now or perish. It's time to cast off the works of darkness. Look at verse 12. In other words, it's time to clean up. This casting off has to do with flinging away and putting away the night clothes, for they're not suitable for the day. Now, it's a pitiful sight what you see on the streets nowadays, but there's things I'm not going to be caught dead in. Night clothes is not one of them. I'm not going to be out there like that. But he says, let us drop or fling away the works and deeds of the darkness, one Bible says. Evil is on every hand. You know, someone said, we're going to have to go back and ask Sodom and Gomorrah to forgive us for the way we're living. America is in a mess, needless to say, and most of you realize this, I trust. And we as God's people have no business indulging into these activities along the way. We must abstain, we must change, and we must shun and flee from evil. Just detour it. Go the other way. Get away from it. It's time to put on the armor of light. Verse 12. You know, I wouldn't want to fight the warfare that they fought in those days. hand-to-hand combat right in your face. And the Bible teaches us, especially in Ephesians 6, that we're to put on the whole armor of God, that you need every bit of it. You need the breastplate of righteousness to protect your heart, if you please. And not only that, but we need our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need salvation in our heart and soul. We need the shield of faith. We need the helmet of salvation. There's our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in His coming again. And we need the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You want to put the devil to flight? Face him with the book. Give him God's word. Share it with him. You know, I've met up with a few of those characters like that, and they don't understand, and they're ready to go as soon as you start sharing scripture with them along the way. Now, it's time to walk honestly. You know, people are not as honest as they once were. People's word is not as good as it used to be. Used to, you could shake hands with somebody and the deal was made. Now you can sign the dotted line and it may not work out even then. But we're to walk honestly and walk decently and to walk in the Spirit. Notice what he says here. Don't riot or revel. Folks, we got too much rioting in America today. One of the reasons being, it's simply that there's not enough of God's people standing up for truth and for righteousness. We have drifted from these things that we ought to be sticking with. He teaches us, I think, in essence, that it isn't printed in the Bible, but he doesn't want us to drink nor take drugs and all this kind of junk, you know. He says, don't chamber. In other words, don't live immorally. We've gone to the point that immoral living is a commonly accepted thing among many Americans today. Don't live in wantonness. That's a word that we don't use. It's a word that has the idea of being unchaste and lewd and immoral, undisciplined, unmanageable lives. When you talk about undisciplined, we have little discipline in the home. We have little discipline in the church. We have little discipline in the schools. Look where we're at. Boy, it's got quiet here. Y'all gone back to sleep on me? Wake your neighbor up. Tell him we're still at church. Okay? Don't envy. In other words, don't quarrel. Don't be jealous. And on the list goes. It's time to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, according to verse 14. What's he talking about putting on? He's talking about putting on sobriety and temperance and chastity. Put on Christ Jesus. Put on righteousness. Put on the new man. The day you got saved or the night you got saved, it doesn't make any difference. I remember when I first moved to Florida, the first Sunday night I was there, about midnight, one of the fellas called me and said, I need you to come talk to my daughter. She's wanting to be saved. She's about 12 years old, I suppose. Lived about a half a mile from the church. I said, I'll be down there just as soon as I can get dressed. You know, the midnight hour is a good time to be saved. Noonday is a good time. Any time in between is a good time to be saved. And, you know, we need to realize that when we put on the new man, that we are different. We're not like we once were. Therefore, we need to be doing what God wants us to do. It's time for us to grow up and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, when we grow in grace, we become more and more like the Lord Jesus. Isn't that what we should be doing, to be like Him? You say, well, I can't be like Him. Not 100%, no, but you can be more like Him than you were yesterday, and on it goes, you see. What He's dealing with here is the matter of just selling out to God. You know, we give God lip service sometimes. We just do enough to get by and soothe our conscience. I made it to church today. Amen. But what about tomorrow? What about Monday and Tuesday and so on? We need to be serving Him. We need to be witnessing for Him. And we need to be doing the things of God. Let's go to the book of Philippians just a minute. And chapter 3, it's time to press forward. He says in verse 14, I press toward the mark, more literally the goal, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Got any Super Bowl fans here? You don't know who's going to win? I can guarantee you, I can give you the answer, who's going to win? The one that scores the most points. That'll work every time. Those guys, you know, poor guys, they're about to starve to death, making millions of bucks, and get out there and bump heads and all this kind of stuff and anything else. They're trying to get that little old football over the goal line. Well, if they don't, you're all upset. When he says, I press forward, means to go and to move and to push and to urge and to drive on. In other words, don't back up. You know, I watch these guys play, and their play gets crossed up, messed up, and here they go back 40 yards and try to make it all up. They might as well just fall down to begin with. They'd save some yards and everything. But when I thought about we're not to back up, they tell me that Henry Ford, when he built his first car, didn't have a reverse in it. How many of y'all remember that? Boy, I didn't see no hands. Got a bunch of teenagers here. Well, what about Moses when they were standing at the Red Sea? Moses said, let's go forward. But Moses, you've lost your mind. Huh? You know, they must have been a bunch of Baptists. They was complaining, look what you got us into. Huh? That's about the size of it, isn't it? We must go forward. You need to have a target out there. You need to be aiming. You know, if you're going to hit anything, you're going to have to aim at it. And you got to work at it. And you need to have a goal. And as we said, the football boys have got the goal line in their minds tonight. It's time to witness, Acts 1:8. He says, ye shall be witnesses. Not maybe so, it's not optional, although we make it that. Well, there's a lot of other stuff I can put in here, but here's one that we need to remember. It's time for Jesus to come. It's time for us to look for His coming. I remember the first time I was in Jerusalem, I was on the Mount of Olives. We stayed in the Panoramic Hotel. And at daybreak, I was out on the observation deck, sixth floor, looking eastward. I said, Lord, I'm here. Come on right now. But he didn't choose to come at that particular time. But you know, I'm still looking. I'm still expecting. And you know, when we have our minds in that direction, it'll motivate our service for the Lord. It'll motivate us to reach out and try to win those that are lost about us. It's time to get right with God. I don't know very many of you, actually very, very few. But in an audience of this size, there's bound to be somebody that's not right with God. My main purpose of being here is strictly to share the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might come in free pardon of your sins. You might realize that the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's time to trust Christ. It's time to repent of your sins. It's time to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that Christ Jesus died for us. You know, none of us were there 2,000 years ago, but I believe it took place just like the book says. The Bible says that we must believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. You've got to believe in the resurrection, or otherwise salvation isn't going to come your way, my friend. I was reading a little booklet this week. This person was telling the preacher that they was going to be saved at a certain time. Folks, you don't pick your time in which you're going to be saved. The only time is now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Therefore, it's urgent that you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus. Why not be saved today? If you're already saved, are you serving God? Are you really involved in the work of the Lord? Are you doing what God wants done? Are you a member of this church? If not, maybe that's where you need to be. If God's leading you here, that's where you should be, and you need to be busy for Him. You may need to rededicate your life in the service of the Lord Jesus. It'll make a difference in what you do. Would you stand with us as we pray?